Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I don't know if I'll continue to go through all the materials I have on the life of David. Probably for the next couple of weeks, maybe at least through July, we'll see how the Lord directs. Because the last few services, at least that I've preached here from our pulpit, we've looked at the life of David. And I want to continue to do that this morning. And the title of my message is, Do You Love the Lord? And let's read, we'll just read the first four verses of the chapter, but we will look at most of the passages that are found in chapter 18 this morning. It says, And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Let's pray. Lord, bless as we consider this chapter this morning, and as we look at the great love that many had for David, might we also examine our own lives to see whether or not we have such a love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless in the message, use it for thy glory, and use it for the benefit of thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus far, we've looked at why God chose to use David. It wasn't because of his outward appearance or his stature, but it was because of the condition of his heart. We saw how God took David, or was going to take David, from the prairie to the palace. And this was primarily because David was faithful in that which is least or that which is little. And so God gave him greater responsibilities. We've looked at actions he took towards his ascent, which primarily dealt with the subject of humility. And the Bible tells us before honor is humility, and David was a very humble man, especially in the beginning. And then the last message I preached on the life of David, I asked the question, do you want to be like David? And I might ask it this way, do you really want to be like David? Because if you want to be like David and be loved and appreciated like he was, you're going to have to be willing to do the things that he did. You're going to have to be willing to fight when no one else is willing to fight. You're going to have to be willing to fight where no one else is willing to fight. And you're going to have to be willing to fight what no one else is willing to fight. And we saw that in chapter number 17 when David fought Goliath. But again, the title of the message today is, Do You Love the Lord? You see, there's an emphasis that I believe is found in this chapter. If you read the chapter, read it a couple of times, and pay attention to the types of things that God might be emphasizing, you'll notice there's something that comes up numerous times. In verse number 1, there at the end, it says, And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And verse number 3 says the same thing in regards to Jonathan's love for David. Then if you go down to verse number 16, it says, But all Israel and Judah loved David. And then in verse number 20, it says, And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And then in verse 22, this is a little bit slightly different of a passage, but there towards the bottom it says, And all his servants love thee. And the word love is not found in the final verse of the chapter, but it does say that his name was much set by. So four times in this chapter we're told that someone or a group of people loved David. And I see that as one of the emphases found in this chapter. And so what I want to do this morning is to look at the different individuals or groups of people who love David, explore the possible reasons why they love David, and then make an application of this to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I think what we'll find is the same reasons that people love David are the reasons that we love, or at least should love, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at Jonathan to begin with, because he is the first individual that it said loves David. Again, verse number 1, I'll read the entire verse this time. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And verse 3, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan loved David. As you read through the life of David, it becomes apparent that Jonathan indeed loved David, as the Bible says, as his own soul. While you might have think Jonathan could have held animosity and bitterness towards David, because after all, his father hated David. And not only that, as we'll see in just a moment, David becoming king meant that Jonathan would not ascend to the throne after the death of his father. But there was no animosity towards David on the part of Jonathan. Instead, he loved him. But why did he love David? The Bible doesn't specifically tell us why it is that Jonathan loved David. Although I have to believe that there were reasons. But you know, I guess maybe the best type of love is a love that loves someone without reason. I mean, why does God love us? The psalmist asked, you know, why art thou mindful of mankind? Why does God demonstrate and exhibit mercy and grace to us? There's no real reason. We have nothing to offer God. But He loves us in spite of it. Jonathan loved David. And so as I was preparing this particular message, I kept asking myself the question, why might he have loved David? And you know, I thought about the circumstances surrounding Jonathan's life and what it must have been like to be Jonathan. His dad was an angry man who was bitter and became very envious of anyone who threatened his power and his prestige. And probably because these emotions filled his heart, when poor little Jonathan spilled a glass of milk, his dad probably screamed and hollered at him. As he walked through and looked at Jonathan's room, probably yelling at him to pick up his messy room and his clothes that were strung all about. Probably slammed the door at night without saying goodnight to his son. Maybe Jonathan watched as his father beheaded those who opposed him. Jonathan's dad was mad at God and mad at Samuel, the prophet of God, for rejecting him as being king. Jonathan must have had a terrible home life, when his dad would go into these fits of rage But you know what? There was a day when they found a musician to come and to play for his dad. And that musician was David, and he would come and he would play his musical instruments. He would play his harp. And the evil spirit would depart from his father. And the atmosphere there in Jonathan's home would all of a sudden improve and become much better. And perhaps this is one of the reasons that Jonathan loved David, because David was refreshing. David was different from what Jonathan experienced in his home life. You know, sometimes you find that amongst children. Children who may not have the best of home life, they go and they find a family who's stable. They find a family who's loving and caring, and it's so different from where they come from that they're naturally attracted to that family. It's refreshing. And I think that in part it might have been refreshing for Jonathan to come into the presence of the humble David. By the way, does that remind you of someone else? Like the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, this world that we live in, it's an angry world, where people lose their temper. You've heard the term road rage, right? People get so mad in regards to the actions of others on the road. They force them off the road and beat them up, or get beat up sometimes. The world's filled with bitterness. It's filled with envy. All around us there's lies and murders, deceit. There's feuds, there's strife, there's conflict on every side. There's conflict between the nations of the world. There's conflict between the states of this nation, between the political parties of this nation. There's conflict between husbands and wives, between siblings. There's conflict and strife and envy around every corner. And boy, sometimes it's refreshing to simply come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no rage in Him. There's no strife. It's quite refreshing. Isn't it quite refreshing to come into this assembly and to get away from the world? You know, we went to the fireworks last night up in Clinton, and we pulled in and we parked right next to the basketball court, set out our chairs and sat there, and all the young people, I must congregate to the basketball courts. And I'm talking about young people, I don't know, from the ages of 12 to 17 or 18. And there they were, carrying on, some of them naked, cursing, shooting fireworks at each other. We were just praying that one wouldn't find its way over to us. But you know, those kind of circumstances, when I get around them, they make me very uncomfortable. Remind me why I don't go to crowded places, especially when it's filled with children whose parents aren't there to monitor their activities. It's refreshing to go back home where it's a little more calm. And you know, it's refreshing to come to this assembly of believers, to get away from work, to get away from everything that's ungodly, and come to a place that's refreshing. Jonathan's love for David was so strong that it caused him to die to self. Saul said to his son Jonathan in chapter 20, he said, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and into the confusion of thy mother's nakedness, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom." What did Saul say to Jonathan? As long as David is alive, he is going to become the king. And so he's saying to Jonathan, why do you keep sticking up for him? Why do you keep defending him? Why do you go behind my back to preserve the life of David? If we could just simply kill him, you could be the next king. And think about Jonathan's attitude. He didn't care. And that's so uncharacteristic of those in power, especially those in power in this day. Because they would just annihilate anyone who threatened their throne. Of course, that's what Saul was seeking to do for his son. But Jonathan wanted no part of it. Instead, he was content to take a second-hand seat to David. And by the way, that ought to be our attitude. I don't know, maybe as a young boy, before Jonathan ever met David, maybe he dreamed of the day that he would become king. Maybe he had plans for what he would do with his power and his money. And maybe the plans were noble. Maybe he was going to help people. Maybe he was going to lift that nation up to greater prominence. Maybe he was going to exercise his powers in righteousness. But whatever plans he had, he gave them up. He forfeited them for the will of God. Because he knew it was the will of God that David become king. And boy, that ought to be our actions and attitudes. We might have plans, and our plans may be noble, and they may be honorable, but you know what? We ought to put them on the altar and say, God, rather than living my life my way, I want your will for my life. Jonathan loved David because he was refreshing. But Israel and Judah also loved David. Look at verse number... let's start with number 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Then look, well, let's just keep reading. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then look at verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Now that phrase, went out and came in before them, not every instance, but in most instances, it's talking about someone who goes out to war and who comes back from war. And in this case, comes back successful, having defeated, having conquered their nation's enemies. And that was true of David. From the time that he slew Goliath, to the times that he was Saul's servant, to the time he became king, he was always going out to battle and coming back having conquered Israel's foes. And that's why people loved him. They loved him. The people of Israel loved him. The women singed about him. Why? Because he was a winner. Because he was successful in his military campaigns. They loved him so much, they sang about it. Of course, this didn't sit well with King Saul, did it? Why didn't it sit well with King Saul? Well, because his heart was filled with pride, and he wanted the preeminence. He wanted to be number one. He didn't want them singing about David slaying his 10,000s while he only slew his thousands. He wanted to be perceived as the best, the mightiest. Better watch out for that awful sin of pride. It will destroy you just like it destroyed Saul. David was a winner. According to the passages we just read, verse 5, he set him over the men of war. In verse 6, he returned from the slaughter. Verse 7, having slain his 10,000s. David was a winner. And I don't know about you, but I've always appreciated winners. I know sometimes people see winners and successful people, you know, with a target on their back, and they hate them, and they envy them because they're winners and because they're successful. But I always appreciate winners. You know, I always appreciated Sam Walton and the empire that he built until they withdrew the Confederate flag, at least. I always used to enjoy and appreciate Tiger Woods until his moral collapse. Everybody wanted him to lose, but I was always following golf just to see if he won. In the day, Michael Jordan, I loved Michael Jordan and watching Michael Jordan. I never rooted for him to fail or the Bulls to get beat. I was always rooting them on. They were the most successful team during that era. By the way, that's why I like Rocky. He might have got a black eye every once in a while, but he always won. Didn't matter who he fought in those movies, he always won. He was a winner. And David was a winner, and David always won the battle. And by the way, the same is true for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every battle he fought, he won. You recall there in the book of Matthew that there was one group after another that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, tempting him, asking him a question, trying to trip him up in his words. The Pharisees came to him, and he defeated them. The Sadducees came to him, and he defeated them. The Herodians came to him, and he defeated them as well. Jesus took on the woman with the issue of blood, and he won in that battle. He took on the legion, that legion of demons, and won. He took on the 10 men who were lepers and won. He took on the devil while he was weak and hungry. He had one arm tied behind his back and won. And Jesus took on death. And he won. And every enemy he takes on, he wins. Because he's a winner. And that's one of the reasons we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's a winner. He's a fighter who wins. And boy, if we have a problem with alcohol or drugs, he can give us the victory. If we have a problem with selfishness, he can give us the victory. If we need help and assistance in raising our children, he can give us the victory. If we have financial difficulties, he can give us the victory. And I don't know about you, but it's easy to love someone who can time and time again lead you into victory. But we also find in this chapter that Michal loved David. In verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. It didn't please him because he liked David so much. It pleased Saul because he thought, great, this is an opportunity for me to get David killed. I'll offer him my daughter's hand in marriage if he can just kill 100 Philistines. And he thought, surely out of 100 Philistines, one of them's going to kill David. That's so funny to me. They should make a cartoon about that, right? This little old dopey David going out all innocent like, oh yay, the king wants me to marry his daughter. All I got to do is kill 100 Philistines. I can do that. And then he does it and everybody's amazed. And don't lose sight of that. I'm sure people were amazed. There's another phrase that's found over and over again in this chapter, and it's that David behaved himself wisely. You see, all of Saul's servants, they knew what was taking place, and they watched, you know, little old innocent, naive David take off to slay his 100 Philistines, thinking, this guy is going to die. And then when he came back, they were like, what? But Michal loved David. Why did she love David? Maybe she loved him because he was refreshing. That's why Jonathan appears to have loved him, because he was musically talented. Maybe she loved him because he was a winner, because he was a conqueror. Maybe she loved him because of his character, not his physical stature. But I suspect it was in part because he was comely. You recall in one of our previous messages, it did say that he was comely. It wasn't that he was unattractive. No, he was attractive. It just says God didn't choose him for those reasons. And I doubt that there's a woman who's ever... I doubt that a woman ever gets together with a man whom she doesn't at least at first find attractive. I mean, I hope you girls are looking for something more in a man than just him being attractive. But I know, as some of you have said to me, some of my own daughters have said, it's not like you're going to marry a man who you think is ugly. That's probably never going to happen. And so I suspect that Michal found David attractive. And this may have been in part what first drew her to David. But in relating this to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is kind of what I'm trying to do here this morning, the Bible, you know, says of our Lord that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was just an average-looking person on the outward appearance. And yet, and don't miss this, and yet people were still attracted to him. People were still attracted to him in droves. You know, Abraham, the Bible says many great things about Abraham. He's the father of faith. He was obedient so much so that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. He was so God-centered that he left his home and all of his surroundings to go to a place that he had never been. And there were many who appreciated Abraham, but I don't see as many attracted to him as were the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at Joseph in the Bible, here's a man, he wasn't bitter or vindictive when he could have been. He was a wise man. He was a ruler over all. And there were many who were attracted to him as a result, but not as many as were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some who faithfully followed Moses and his leadership, but not as many as followed Jesus. Joshua, who was one of the spies who gave a good report and later would lead the people of Israel to conquer the land of Canaan, was appreciated by many. Many were attracted to him, but not as many as have been attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon was a king that appealed to others, and the Queen of Sheba even came all the way from her country to see of the wisdom and the wealth of Solomon firsthand. But Jesus had three wise men that came to him, three that were attracted to him from the east. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, they were all great prophets. But there was none like Jesus. None as attractive. Because he's God. Because he's creator. He's Redeemer, he's holy, he's righteous, and I've said before that holiness is attractive. And it attracts people. And so does righteousness. And folks, David, especially in his early life, he was righteous. humble, obedient, faithful. And maybe for all these reasons, Michael was attracted to him. Maybe for all these reasons, she loved him. And then lastly, Saul's servants loved him because he was wise. I said this was a phrase that's found repeatedly in the chapter. In verse 5, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent and bathed himself wisely." And in verse 14, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." Verse 15, "Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." And in verse 30, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." His name was very precious to them. Because, why? Why? Why were Saul's servants attracted to David? Why did they love him? Because he behaved himself wisely. He acted smart. And by the way, there's been none wiser than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wisdom personified, as seen in Proverbs chapter 8. Matthew 12:42 says that he's wiser than Solomon. As I've already mentioned, Jesus was often asked questions, and he always had an answer. He knows how men lived to be 900 years old in the book of Genesis. He knows how Cain got his wife. He knows how to make a big boat that's able to fit two of every animal in it. He knows how to pollinate the flowers. He knows how to cleanse the water. He knows how to make you and I better spouses, better children, better mothers, better fathers. He knows everything. And we ought to love him because he knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Why did others love David? Jonathan loved him because he was refreshing. Israel loved him because he was conquering. Michael loved him because he was attractive, and Saul's servants loved him because he was wise. These are the same reasons why we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. In a wicked world, he certainly is very refreshing. Regardless of the enemy, regardless of the conflict, he is always able to give us the victory. And because he is righteous, he is attractive, and he's always wise. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because." Do you love the Lord? And if you do, have you stopped to think about why? You know, if you don't have an abiding love for the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe it's because you're not saved. Maybe it's because you don't fully appreciate what he's done for you. For the Bible does say we love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated his love for us when he died on the cross of Calvary. And he gave up his life and he shed his blood that we could be forgiven. Have you trusted him as your own personal Savior? I trust that you have, and if you haven't, you need to do so. And once you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope you'll love him. I hope you'll love him in the same capacity that Jonathan loved David, that John the Baptist loved Jesus, that you'll be willing to take a second seat, that you'll be willing to decrease, that he may increase. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and the things that we can learn from it. And Lord, it does appear to me that this chapter in 1 Samuel is emphasizing the love that others had for David. And God, I pray that as we've considered some of the passages in this chapter, that we'll not only see reasons why people love David, but that we'll see reasons why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that's lost, that you'd save them. And then, Lord, for those of us that are saved, help us to love our Savior. Help us to delight in Him. Help us to seek His will. And Lord, might we rather Him be lifted up and glorified than we ourselves. So bless the message as it's went forth. Use it for Thy glory and use it for the benefit of Thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me and let's turn to hymn 155.